ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
On April 7th, countries around the globe will celebrate World Health Day. It's a time when healthcare professionals showcase the improvements that have been made in the health of people living around the world in the past year. It's also a time to take stock of what still needs to be done on that front. At UW-Milwaukee, there's a special reason to celebrate World Health Day because about a year and a half ago, the university launched a Bachelor of Arts degree that focuses on global health. It's the first of its kind in Wisconsin. It gives students an opportunity to travel around the world and experience firsthand how other countries deliver health care to their citizens and how that compares to the health care system here in the United States. Joining us in the studio today is Anne Dressel. Anne is an assistant professor in the College of Nursing, and she's director of the Center for Global Health Equity at UWM. Welcome, Anne. Good to have you back on the program again.
Thank you so much, Tom. Thanks for having me.
You've been with us before talking about health, and this time we're focusing on this really, really neat degree program that lets undergraduates begin to get a taste of what it's like to consider what makes this a healthier world.
Mm-hmm. And it's a perfect time to be talking about this because the theme for World Health Day this year, which is hosted by the World Health Organization, their theme this year is universal healthcare. And the United States is the only high-income country in the world without some sort of universal or national healthcare system. And just this morning in the paper, in the PolitiFact section, there was commentary about how the U.S. spends more than any other country in the world on healthcare. We spend almost 18% of our GDP, our gross domestic product, on healthcare, more than $10,000 per person per year on healthcare, which is more than twice as much as any other country in the world.
And one of the concerns is that although we spend a lot more than other countries, we're not necessarily getting the results that we would hope for that money, right?
Exactly. And I think that often surprises people. For example, we're number 43 in life expectancy. So that means there's 42 other countries in the world that if you were born there, you could expect to live longer than if you were born here in the U.S. We're number 55 in infant mortality rates. And that refers to the number of babies who die before they turn one year old. So there's 54 countries that do better than we do with infant mortality rates. And that's also used as sort of a pseudo measure for the overall health of a population, the infant mortality rate. More disturbingly, I think, is we're number 46 in maternal mortality ratio. And this is the number of women who die due to complications from pregnancy or childbirth. Among high-income countries, we're dead last. We have the worst rate for maternal mortality ratios. So that means this is, in many ways, a dangerous place for women to be pregnant and give birth compared to other high-income countries.
You know, those are all such shocking statistics because I think most people who have access to health care would listen to that and say, that can't be. I mean,
right.
I could see the doctor anytime I want. I can go to specialist if I need to. I've got a hospital right down the block. How in the world could we rank in the middle of the pack of all the countries in the world if we're spending almost 20% more
right.
than other countries are?
I think it's really surprising to a lot of people. And we have great health care here in the U.S. if you have good insurance or if you can pay for it. And unfortunately, that's not the case for many people. Another good example of why we should care about global health in addition to our healthcare systems is there's a lot we can learn from other countries. So I know we've been hearing a lot in the news lately about gun control and gun laws. And Australia, for example, in 1996 had a mass shooting, and they immediately implemented new gun laws to deal with that. So Australia still has a huge hunting culture. I mean, people there own guns. But what the government did after that mass shooting is they paid people to turn in their guns. They paid people, and now people to get a gun in Australia, which people can get, but you have to go through safety training. It's mandatory. You have to have a license, And you have to get that license renewed every 3 to 5 years. And then also there's a waiting period.
And if a critic were listening to you describe the difference between Australia and America, they would say you missed something, and that's the Second Amendment.
Right.
The fact that that other countries don't necessarily, by virtue of their constitution, allow people to have the same access to weapons that we have here in the United States.
So I think there's two pieces to that. One, as I said, you can still get a gun in Australia, and people use them for hunting, for target practice, for sportsmanship. But I think what we often forget with the Second Amendment or with the freedoms that are guaranteed by our Constitution is that with freedom also comes great responsibility. And I think sometimes we forget about the second half of that, which is so important. But since Australia implemented those laws, they had not had another mass shooting since 1996. They had one shooting in 2018 when it was one family of seven that was killed, and the media there was up in arms. People were saying, we don't want to become like the U.S., you know, and they were really advocating, so maybe we should look at our laws again. But this should not be normal. It should not be normal that our kids have to go through lockdown drills in school, that we have to go through active shooter training on campus. That just should not be a normal part of our existence.
So, and as we think about World Health Day coming up, again, you mentioned it's sponsored by the World Health Organization. Mm-hmm. Is there going to be a special emphasis in this next year in focusing on the prevalence of gun violence and how that affects health? Or is that just one component of what the health organization looks at as it considers overall health rankings?
Yeah, it is something that's being looked at very strongly here in the U.S. The American Public Health Association, for example, we just had a big lobby day out in Washington, D.C. earlier this week. And that was one of our five talking points, to be advocating for money for research to study gun violence here in the U.S. That's something that's been tied up with the Dickey Amendment, that the CDC has not been allowed to provide funding for gun research.
It's a congressional step that
yes.
says no money can be
yes.
spent on that, although CDC says that they are still conducting studies, although
right.
there's a question of how effective that is.
But there's a big push here in the U.S., at least by the APHA, American Public Health Association, to study the issue more.
Well, let's talk about some of the other aspects of what makes a society healthy or not. You talked about the dreadful numbers that we see here in terms of infant mortality,
mm-hmm.
Where we rank, again, about in the middle of the pack. What's the reason behind that? Is there any evidence that points to a factor or two factors that make being young, being an infant in this country, so much more dangerous than in other countries?
I don't think there are easy answers to that. Part of it has to do with lack of access to care for many people. Racism and discrimination plays into it. And certainly here within the U.S. and here within Milwaukee, there's big disparities between infant mortality rates for white babies versus black babies. Matter of fact, here in Milwaukee, we have one of the widest gaps, one of the biggest disparities within the whole country between black babies dying and white babies dying. So there's a lot of work we need to do here, right here in our own backyard.
And is it a lack of awareness, or is it a lack of access to health care that puts those infants and their mothers mm-hmm. at such risk?
I think it's both. The issue is still being studied to find out, you know, what exactly is it and what exactly do we need to do to improve or to reduce infant mortality rates. Smoking is one factor that ties into it, and this is a little bit of a segue into asthma rates here in Milwaukee, too, which are very high, especially for young children. And that is something that climate change is contributing to. So again, when we look local and we look globally, climate change is one of these huge things that is affecting all of us. But it's also led to an increase in asthma rates and asthma mortality, so people dying from asthma, and asthma morbidity, so people being sick or unable to live normal lives due to to issues with asthma.
I've heard that one of the challenges that we face here in Milwaukee, because it is an older Midwest city, the housing stock has been around a long time. Many, many of the homes in the city, more than 100 years old, in some cases much more than 100 years old. And with that age comes the challenges of upkeep and cleanliness and lead paint that may be a contributing factor. Is that also one of the factors that moves Milwaukee up on the list as opposed to some of the newer cities that that have a younger housing stock to meet the needs of the people?
Housing stock can definitely be an issue. And carpeting can contribute to asthma. Cockroaches can contribute to asthma. We've been doing a project in Westlawn, one of the public housing communities here in Milwaukee, trying to educate people on using green cleaning, so non-toxic cleaning products, so that the chemicals aren't exacerbating asthma that the kids are exposed to. I will say, though, that especially our public housing here in Milwaukee tends to be in very good shape. The Housing Authority of the City of Milwaukee has been very proactive on ensuring that housing is safe and healthy for its residents. Matter of fact, back in 2012, the Housing Authority built 14 asthma-friendly housing units when they tore down and rebuilt the east side of Westlawn, the biggest public housing development here in the city. And those were for families of children with asthma. And based on that work and the success of those units, we worked with many other organizations across the country to lobby HUD, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, to enact a policy of smoke-free public housing nationwide. And that was adopted in 2016. We're really excited about that. And public housing authorities across the country have 18 months now to roll that out so that all public housing will be smoke-free, which will help to smoking and exposure to secondhand smoke is a big trigger for asthma. So it'll help to deal with that issue.
And so if the public housing stock, is doing better than we might have expected, the problem remains with the private housing.
Yes.
And with perhaps landlords who may not be as attentive to the cleanliness or the quality of the materials that are in those apartments, whether it's dirty rugs or walls that are flaking paint.
Exactly. And that's an ongoing issue, and that's a little bit more challenging of an audience to reach and to get them to take action on things. But we'll continue to work on it. It's good for the people living here. It's good for the kids living here. So we'll continue working on it. But it also is a good example of how health happens. A lot of health happens outside of the clinic. So if we can do something to control the environment that children are living in so they're not exposed to asthma triggers, it can keep them from having to go to the clinic or having to go to the hospital due to an asthma attack.
You're listening to UWM Today right here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us in the studio is Anne Dressel. Anne is an assistant professor at UWM's College of Nursing. She's also director of the Center for Global Health Equity, located on the campus. We're talking today about the soon-to-be-here World Health Day on April 7th. World celebrates or commemorates a special moment in time to look at how healthy citizens are and what can be done to have an even healthier population. And we're also talking today about a wonderful new degree program at UWM that offers students an opportunity to study global health, even if they're not going into medicine or into nursing or public health per se. And let's talk about that degree program. What fascinates me is that if you're an engineer, for example, or someone interested in the arts, you still can get connected into a program that speaks to global health. That may surprise a lot of people.
Yes. Global health is a very broad field with many different facets. For example, at UWM, we have a student group, Engineers Without Borders, who regularly go down to Guatemala to dig wells, which has a huge impact on access to fresh water for people in those areas. We've worked with Peck School of the Arts on some of our environmental health projects, and they've helped us to produce videos for YouTube. They've run on some of the public television stations here, again, about green cleaning, how to use non-toxic cleaning products in your home, you know, to improve the indoor air environment for your family. But the global health degree, yes, it's for people from all backgrounds. And it grew, it's part of the global studies degree. And the global studies degree was the first of its kind in the nation, actually. It was developed here at UWM, I think back in the 90s. And it's got several different tracks. The first track that was developed was a global management track, and it's set up to merge the liberal arts with the professional schools. So students doing this degree have to do at least 6 semesters of a foreign language. They have to do a study abroad. They have to do an internship abroad. And then there's core courses that depend on the different track that they're in. And we have this new global health track that just got launched about a year and a half ago, which includes coursework from the College of Nursing, from the Zilber School of Public Health, from the College of Health Sciences, as well as courses in letters and science.
What sort of reaction have you had from students who have tested this program? I mean, is it do they like the idea of being in an area where they have contact with so many different disciplines?
Yeah, it's been very popular. And we also, unfortunately, we don't have any graduates yet since it just got launched a year and a half ago, because I've been asked a few times, well, what are students doing with this? Well, they're still in school. So we'll soon find out. But prior to the global health degree, we developed a global health certificate. And that has been much more successful than we anticipated. There's been more enrollments in that than we were expecting. And that, like the global health degree, requires coursework from the College of Nursing, Zilber School of Public Health. There's electives from the College of Health Sciences, the College of Letters and Science. And the certificate is also open to working professionals. So maybe there's someone out there who wants to get a little bit of expertise in global health. They could come to UWM and just do the certificate.
We don't know what the graduates of this program will be doing when they get out in a couple of years, mm-hmm. but any projections of the type of jobs that they would be qualified to go into with a degree of this sort?
The students who are in it have told us they're interested in working, for example, for the World Health Organization, for non-governmental organizations that have to do with global health broadly defined. Quite a number of students are interested in going on into graduate school, either in nursing or public health, or UWM has a Master of Sustainable Peacebuilding program. It's a nice segue for that. Some of the students in the program have a really strong interest in environmental health, which is a big piece of global health. So it'll be exciting to see what they end up doing when they graduate.
The whole future ahead of them. You mentioned some of the engineering students involved in work in other countries, helping to build systems to deliver safe water. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that a little bit more. The idea that a student here in Milwaukee may be in a classroom one morning and a couple days later find themselves continuing their studies, not in a classroom, but in the environment that might be 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 miles
right.
away.
Yep. We're very proud at UWM to offer a wide array of study abroad programs. And study abroad is required for the global health track and encouraged or counts as an elective for the global health certificate. Through the College of Nursing, we offer several global health programs. One goes to Thailand and Laos, one goes to Kenya, one goes to Ecuador, and one goes to Malawi. The Malawi one just ran this past January. We had a group of students who went to Malawi on a community health study abroad. And I think there's a couple of things that are very impactful for them when they go there. One, they learn that healthcare can be delivered with all kinds of bells and whistles. They see good quality healthcare happening there in Malawi, which is one of the poorest countries in the world. And it gives them also firsthand exposure to sort of the direct impacts of climate change. So the U.S. is one of the biggest emitters of CO2 into the atmosphere. We used to be number one, but China now has taken over the number one spot. So we're one of the biggest contributors to climate change, but studies have shown sub-Saharan Africa suffers the most from the negative impacts of it. So more droughts, more floods. The students meet with people in Malawi and see firsthand what happens when the corn crop is failing. You may have heard in the papers, Mozambique just had a huge cyclone just a couple of days ago, which also rolled in and impacted Malawi.
Thousands of people impacted
yeah.
by it.
So I think it makes students, gives them an opportunity to step back and reflect on their own lifestyles. We often see, though, you know, the scientific evidence is not disputed at all about climate change existing and mankind's contribution to it. And I think students often don't think about, or they think, yes, I believe in climate change, but anything I do isn't going to make any difference. But when you think about that times 328 million people in the U.S., that adds up to some big differences.
It sounds like a really powerful experience for these UWM students to be in a place like Malawi and talk to the residents, talk to the mm-hmm. people there. What do the students tell you in terms of how it impacts them? You know, how has it changed their attitudes? Has it redirected them all in terms of what they want to do with their career?
It has certainly opened their eyes, and I think it's made them they'll come back and say they realize how much they've taken for granted. Even things as simple as, you know, flipping on the light switch. Or I know one of our trips to Malawi, we visited one of the rural maternity clinics, and it was a clinic for preterm babies. It's something called kangaroo care, and what they do is the mothers wear the babies basically wrapped onto them so they can stay warm. But there was one baby there whose mom had died in childbirth, and so the baby was in an incubator, but there was no electricity for the clinic. And the nurses told the students the baby would probably be dead within 24 hours, which was devastating for the students. But I think it also made them realize the reality that so much of the world lives in and makes them eager to do something, makes them eager to, you know, what changes can they make in their own lives or what can they do to educate others to help promote more equity worldwide.
It must also open their eyes when they see in some of these poorer countries better health outcomes than
yes.
what we might have here
yes.
in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yep. Yes, that's a very good point. That is also very eye-opening for them because, again, I think until people either do some reading or do some traveling, I think often here in the U.S., we think we have the best healthcare system in the world and don't realize, wait a minute, other places are doing it better than we are for less money. And we spend very little money on prevention as well at the federal level. Only 3% of our federal health dollars go toward prevention. And that could be such a win-win for all of us. If we would put more money in on the front end, if we could prevent someone from developing diabetes and trying to deal with the expense of managing that afterwards, we would all come out ahead.
So, Anne, you're located in the College of Nursing, mm-hmm. assistant professor. Might surprise some people to know that you have a PhD in urban studies.
Yes.
Wow, that's quite a disconnect from what one would imagine a professor in nursing would be trained in.
Mm-hmm. There is a couple of us in the College of Nursing, and it's not unusual nationwide either to have some non-nurses in nursing departments. There's a big push now nationally, professionally, for students to get a broader interprofessional education, not only in nursing, but in any of the health fields. So after I did my PhD in urban studies, I went in and did a postgraduate program in public health as well. So I have some of the social sciences covered, you know, some of the health piece covered, but I learn a lot every day from my colleagues in nursing. They've been wonderful to work with.
How has the urban studies background prepared you to lead this global health equity program at UWM?
So the urban studies program is grounded in the social sciences. And so in my mind, and the view we take in the global studies program is global happens everywhere. It's all local to global. What we do here in Milwaukee, the interactions we have with the people right next to us, that's what's going to have a global impact and lead to some bigger changes.
Any sense of how Milwaukee, since you're a student of urban studies, any sense of how Milwaukee stands in comparison to other cities our size in terms of overall health and quality of life for people as you consider the built-out environment?
That's a really good question. And offhand, I don't know.
But these are the sort of questions that students would consider as they mm-hmm. study in this global health program.
Yep. Yes, absolutely. Environmental health is a big piece of it.
Have you ever had any students go through the certificate program who have had an epiphany and they thought that they were going to become, an engineer or a writer and decided that they were going to go into direct services of healthcare?
Yeah, that's a good question. We had one student a few years ago who went on the Malawi Study Abroad program, and based on her experience there, she came back, got a nursing degree, and now is getting a PhD in nursing. She's actually back in Malawi right now finishing up her dissertation research. But she was so impacted by her experience in Malawi, and nurses can do a lot, not only having the clinical background and having those skills, but they're also the most trusted profession. So nurses' voices carry a lot of weight. And, you know, when we get them advocating for global health, it can really have a big impact.
And all of us are so happy you are around as we all look ahead to our future where we're going to be spending more time with nurses, no doubt. And you talked a little bit about the experiences that the students from UWM have had in those countries. How about the local residents? How do they react to having students from Milwaukee come and observe them, be with them, live with them during these experiential learning experiences?
It's been very positive on both sides. We do a lot of orientation with our students because we don't want our students going in thinking they're the experts and they're going to be able to tell everyone everything.
I was wondering, you know, is there any sense of who are you to come in here and tell me what to be doing?
So we do a lot with orientation, helping students to realize they're going to be learning much, much more than any knowledge they might be imparting. We do have the students do teaching projects when they're in the various countries, but those projects are developed in consultation with what's needed in the various countries, what would be helpful to people there, maybe some resources we can bring in that might not be available there. But in general—
So you don't just parachute the students in or the professors in. You really are developing a plan in advance of that visit. So when students arrive, they're connected to meeting the needs as opposed to, again, coming off as some sort of superior expert in telling folks what they should do or not do.
Yes, exactly. We have long-term relationships with the communities we visit. My colleagues in the College of Nursing are from Malawi and Kenya, which is where some of these relationships started. But it's everything is done in very close collaboration with the host communities.
Well, fabulous program. Anne, thank you so much for coming on and talking about the work that you're doing. And we wish you the very best as we approach World Health Day. Let's have, we hope, a happy celebration and maybe consider how we could get our numbers here in Milwaukee and in the U.S. up higher than they are. And continued success with the Global Health Bachelor's degree at UWM.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Anne Dressel, Assistant Professor in the College of Nursing at UWM, also Director of the Center for Global Health Equity. They're our guest on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.